Welcome, friends. I'm so happy that you've joined us today on the 10th episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. In this episode, I was so honored to welcome my new friend, Lucille Bolton Shannon, and share some space with her as she shares about her new upcoming masterclass called The Marriage That Works. I recently found this quote the other day, and it really sums up the core values of what marriage is. It says, a good marriage isn't something you find. It's something you make, and you have to keep on making it. Many of us, we go into marriage thinking if we just have all the things, if we have all the things right or all the boxes checked, that we are set, that we're going to be happy. We're aligned with all the expectations of our hearts, and we think that our marriage will be rock solid. That, my friends, is flawed thinking, and it will set us all up for devastating results. Marriage is constant work, and it's a constant work in progress. But that is not what the world tells us. That's not the view that we see in the media and in everything around us. Today's episode shares Lucille's story and how she has come to the birthing of this class, The Marriage That Works. Now, I'm going to be completely authentic with you. We had some major technological difficulties during the recording of this episode, but it also spoke so true about how marriage is. Despite the technical difficulties of the recording, we persevered because despite all the popping and feedback at times, in the end, we believe the message that Lucille has to share is worth pushing through for. Just like marriage, it's not going to be easy or perfect or sound good all the time. However, in the end, it is how that marriage makes us feel in our hearts and how we take that connection and make a beautiful legacy for our families. Hi, Lucille. I'm so glad that you're joining me today. So Lucille, you and I met recently on an online challenge, and we just instantly kind of had this connection, which was really cool. I would love for you to share with my listeners a little bit about your family background, your history, and you know where you are on your parenting journey. And then we can jump in about this masterclass and what your goals and hopes are for it, and why it's even something on your radar. Like, why have you chosen this route, and why you're being called to do it?
Yes, Kristen, I'll be happy to. And thank you so much for inviting me. And it's amazing that when things are meant to happen in some kind of way, the universe just works it out. So I had no idea that I would meet you doing this other project that we were both on. So thank you so much for giving me time to share. And my background is, Kristen, I'm a mom. I'm a grandmother. I've been married for 38 years. I actually was raised in Mississippi. My parents were the best. I mean, everybody thinks their parents are the best, but mine literally were the best. Along with 11 sisters, 8 brothers, and we grew up in an atmosphere where we didn't know anything but family, church, and sports. And we also were fortunate enough that our parents raised us in a setting where we grew our own food, we sort of were like in our own utopia, so to speak. So I didn't know a lot about hardship in life until I away from home, got out on my own as a young adult. So I was really blessed to be raised in a family atmosphere where we were nurtured, had plenty of nurturing. And my grandmother, so interesting that she lived like maybe 300 yards away from us. And so we grew up in a really close-knit family environment. She was pretty much all relatives that lived out there. So I feel like I was blessed out of all my siblings. All of us were blessed, but I was fortunate enough to be able to to go to the local, go to the university. I went to University of Southern Mississippi and straight out of college, I mean, out of high school in 1975. So long, long, long time ago. And one of the things that I appreciated about my parents, that they felt like there was nothing too hard or too much of a sacrifice for each of us, for those who wanted to go to college, whatever our journey that we wanted to, what we wanted to pursue. If we showed interest, they made it happen. You know, it wasn't a day that didn't go by that we didn't have the opportunity to do something. And even if it, you know, even if it was something had to do with our own gift and talent, like singing, we had singing opportunity. We had, of course, sports was a big part of it, but I had a desire to do something different. I didn't know really where that would take me, but I wanted to go to this university. It was just something that was in my heart. So my family saw me, my siblings saw me sort of kind of being treated special, but it really wasn't that. It's just that I had a desire to do something different. And I wanted to go to this university because I had dreams of being a, I don't know if it was the therapeutic side of me, but I wanted to make people's lives healthier, make their lives happier. And that's because that's all I knew. And when I was exposed to other things, it was like, you know, why aren't people happy? You know, why aren't people, you know, why they don't have the joy in their life? Because that's all that I grew up on. I mean, truly, we were, some people say we were sheltered, but I don't think that was it. I just think my parents were just very, very focused on us living the life that they felt would be the exposing us, I would say, to the things that was valuable to them, which is being raised in the church, being taught how to get along, you know, in a large family setting, you know, just how to be kind and gracious to one another. And then after I finished college, I moved to Texas. Yeah, my first actually, well, I would say my first journey away from home, away from my family. I moved 500 miles one way to start my journey as in my career. And I chose the healthcare industry. A kinesiologist is what my actual degree is in. And when my parents drove me to Texas and left me here, I like, oh my, what did I just do? So anyway, but long story short, I was fortunate enough to find an opportunity to serve and to live out my gifts and my calling. And that was to work with the veterans. I worked at the VA hospital for about 25 years and loved it. Loved serving the veterans. And but let me just back up a little bit. I did get married when I, within 2 years after I came to Texas, met a man that was born and raised here in Sherman. And it was not on my radar to marry. It really wasn't. I was going to come to Texas, get grounded in my career, and then travel. That's what I want to do. I want to be a traveling a therapist. I was going to go out and just heal the world. that's what I had in mind, with just going out. And so I've always wanted I've always had that, I guess, a spirit of help, and that is to make people's lives better. And to this union, we were fortunate to have two wonderful sons. Now, my husband, he was married before and he had a daughter. So when we met and married, she was about 11 years old, and her and her mom and her stepdad, they lived abroad. So we basically just raised our two sons right here in Sherman. And it was just a really amazing experience, because it took me to have a child, to have children, to realize the real blessing that my parents had experienced in raising children. I mean, they raised 20 plus a host of grandchildren. So my experience, wow. Yes, it was such a blessing. And I see today that they were a gift to me, my sons. They still are. But just having that experience, my first son, I have two. One is, he's 38. He's 37, because we've been married 38 years. He was born almost a year to date after our first year anniversary, before our first year anniversary, actually. But anyway, he has been such a joy, and my youngest son as well. But I just want to share a little bit about my oldest son, that when he was a little boy, he was so, he was such a reader. He loved reading. We would be walking in the stores or in the mall, and someone would pass by, had words or whatever, sure, and he would just be so engaged and just turning all the way around trying to read what's on their shirts and on their clothes, and he was just fascinated by words, and by the time he was 5 years old, he had read books, I mean many books. And one morning I was getting him up to go to school, and just out of the nowhere he said, "Mom, I want to go to Australia." And I'm like, "What?" I didn't even know he knew what Australia was. He just had a mindset that inside him was a desire to travel and to explore the world. And I accepted that. I didn't know where it would lead him. But when he finished high school, instead of him going to college, which I thought that's where my child would go, because he was such a reader and just a very academically inclined, but he chose to go to the Air Force. And me being a mom, I was a little, apprehensive about it. But it reminded me of when my parents let me go. They gave up and let me go and grow. And so I said, well, I had no idea where it would take him. But he got to travel the world during his career as in the Air Force until about 5 years ago when he was suddenly diagnosed with a brain tumor. And it was like, I'm so blessed that I had a son who had a mind of his own, who had a desire, had his own journey in mind. And because I was to be the parent that would let him go, he was able to enjoy life. Now he's still very healthy, and he's dealing with some of the side effects from the brain tumor, because he started having seizures and was discharged from the Air Force medically. But he got to live a part of his life that otherwise, had I held him back, maybe he wouldn't have enjoyed that. And now that he's facing, at an early age, he has faced an early retirement where he can still do a lot of things, but still there are some limitations, as you would if you've got this brain tumor, even though it's been removed, but there are still some residual pieces of the tumor that they can't remove because it's in such a critical place in his, in his brain. And so, but he's got to live a really, really fruitful life. And I was able to, at the time when he had his surgery, he was in Germany, and I was able to fly there and be with him. And I tell you what, all the years of me being a mom, it was what did I realize? I was so extremely blessed to have him in my life, and the love that I had. I thought I had loved him beyond words, but I realized that there was more and more love inside of me, and just seeing him there as he was recuperating from the brain surgery with this, with this massive thing around his head, it was just, all the love inside of me, and just feeling so blessed that I got to give birth to this wonderful human being, such a giving person, such a loving person. He would give his very last to his mom. He just has never held back. Just all the love. He's always loved me, shown me love. But at that opportunity, I was able to really just nurture him again as a little boy, which I felt like I was do enough when he was little, when he was home. I was always thinking I could do more. And that has really, really, that experience has drawn us even so much closer. And I know I'm going on and on about him as if I don't even have a second son. But I do. I just feel so blessed as a mom. And my youngest son, is his love is so powerful too. And we have a totally different kind of relationship. I mean, totally different, where he's the kind of person that's going to let you know what his needs are up front. And there's no, you don't have to wonder about it. And so we've had a totally different kind of relationship with. I love him too so much. And he's brought another level of love in my life through my grandkids. So I'm fortunate enough to have, four biological grands and two more through his second marriage. And so anyway, they're all my grands. I don't like to really distinguish between where they're from, that kind of stuff. They're my grandbabies. So
right.
Yeah. So my youngest baby, that second child, he's a grown up, and he's bought, like I said, all this love through, you know, in my life through our grands. And we have a 6-month-old grandbaby, and he's such a joy. As well as I have a 6-year-old. Let me back up and tell you the age. My 6-year-old is a little boy. His name is Julian. He was born right here. We sort of just, I felt like I was being a mom all over again, tell you the truth. So when he was born, they were living right here in the same town with us. And so I got to be there when he was born, and we just nurtured him through that process because he was born a little premature. And so anyway, then I have a granddaughter. Just turned 13, and then the 6-month-old baby, and I have my daughter-in-law to be. She has an 8-year-old son, so I count him as one. And then and then the last grandson, he's 19. He's in Spain, and he's my oldest son, not biological, but he raised him from 5 years old. So those are my grands. So I just feel really blessed to have them. And so that's part of my journey as a parent, and I feel like I've been truly blessed to have been raised by wonderful parents who, they didn't do it perfectly. You know, who does it? Who raised children perfectly? You know, who gives, where's the manual that tell you how to do and how to deal with 20 different
people? I didn't get one.
I didn't do it perfectly either. And I'm just, but I feel so blessed that I have been able to be a parent and to be a grandparent now, and hopefully one day I'll be a great grandmom and great, you know, if that's God's will. So yeah, that's my background. It's my parenting, and it's, you know, the master class has been that's part of my journey. And one of the things that I would say about the masterclass, it is an evolving process. And it was birthed purely out of obedience to, and my faith is really important to me. I heard God gave me this assignment. And what led this to happen was in the early part of this year, this is 2020, in the first part of, I'll say January, February, March, I was searching for something, and I didn't really know how to describe it. I just knew there was something missing. After being married 38 years, I knew that there was, yeah, 38 years. I said, there is something that I'm not feeling, as not just based on a feeling, but there was some lack of energy in my marriage. And we've been through a lot. I mean, over 38 years, can you imagine, you know, not going through a lot? Mm-hmm. So we experienced some things that I'm sure a lot of people experienced. So it probably wasn't nothing new, but it still was something that I didn't feel comfortable with. And again, I reflected back on my parents, because they were married, to both my parents passed away. They've been married over 55 years. And you probably even longer than that. But anyway, I would just notice, and I said, why is there such a challenge? Why is it hard almost every day, every week to have a really good marriage? And so I, on that search, on that journey of searching for something that I knew was missing, I was invited. One of my sisters, 11 sisters I have, she suddenly announced to us that she was getting married. So, and she had been a divorcee for over 20 years. She had left a bad marriage at a very young in her marriage. She had 3 little girls. And so anyway, when she announced to us that she was getting married, we were shocked. Everybody was shocked. I mean, and in a way, it was a good way, because we just didn't see it coming. Neither did she. But in the course of her engagement, some of the things that she started sharing, which inspired me and had my spirit open to find the flavor that was lacking in my marriage, she started just sharing that it was not something that she had planned and had even, you know, wouldn't even think about. She just started preparing herself in a mental way, mentally for a relationship that was going to be coming her way. Different thing that she did. And I won't go into details because those things I'll come out in the masterclass. But what I did discover was that some things in your life, and especially a marriage, you know, you have to feed it. You have to nurture it on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. And therefore, as I was listening to her sharing the excitement about what was going on in her marriage, and it just, I couldn't help but to compare, wow, what am I, you know, why is my marriage, I'm after 37 years, I don't have that excitement, that flavor in my marriage. And so her wedding, it was going to be just a private ceremony. She was just going to get married and have a reception later on. But on the hill, COVID-19, we were just getting word about that. And from March the 7th, March the 8th, March the 9th, it's somewhere in there, I decided, I said, yeah, I'm going to her wedding regardless. I live in Texas. She lives in Mississippi. So my husband and I made the trip to the wedding. And it was held on a Friday, March the 13th. That was the most amazing wedding. That experience was like me, literally almost like me, a rebirth in my marriage. But of course, it wasn't my marriage. It was her. I was just so happy for her. And right after we returned from her wedding, we were quarantined. We couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't really do anything. I mean, everybody was experiencing that, but it was a different level of quarantine for me and my marriage, because I had, and my husband and I have been together for all this time, but we've never really been, I said, locked up together. Mm-hmm. We were never just, you know, we've had, you know, every time we would go out and do things just to have our own space and whatever, but it just became apparent that there was an opportunity to work on my marriage. And therefore, the idea just birthed in the marriage that works. That is the topic that came to me. And it came to me very, very profoundly that was an assignment, because I thought about my marriage. I've been married 38 years, and there are other marriages in my family that have not survived. It was just all around me. And I'm making myself available to be used as an instrument to help marriages. So, and when I got this assignment, it was not with the intention that I'm going to save other marriages, you know, not at all. So, because I'm looking at me, how am I going to save marriage? And I'm just, you know, really struggling at some point in my own. But I was in my spirit, I realized that it wasn't about me, that it's about me being mm-hmm. obedient to what the assignment that I was given. And I didn't even know how it was going to happen. I'm like, how am I going to actually do this? And that's me, the part of me that wants to be perfect, you know, and to have things figured out before I take action, was what I was learning in the Rise Up World Challenge, that do it and you don't have to do it perfectly.
Just show up.
Just show up. And that's when I realized that's my assignment, is just to show up, not worry about being perfect, because that would go back to my old ways, my old story. Things has to be perfect in order for me to move forward. And that has been a deception that has kept me back in many ways for actually moving forward on assignments or moving forward on ideals, whatever that the Spirit has gifted to me. So for lack of a better word, I chose to be a sacrifice for my family, for my friends, for those who are, if it's being more transparent, because people look mm-hmm. at your marriage from the outside and they think, oh, you know, this, this, and this, you know, and that's what we put forth our best foot. But being transparent is a way to me to really being authentic and transparent in your struggle is what will help other people.
I love it. I love it.
That's what I want.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have perfection here today. I'm sure people are hearing a reverb, and you and I have gone back and forth to try to figure out how to fix that, and it's not happening. So I apologize, but I feel like your message needs to be heard. And it's like exactly what you're saying. Like, the message is there. It's not perfect. The format's not perfect.
Yes.
But I think that obedience is so important. Can you tell us a little bit about how will this masterclass be set up?
Yes, that is it's in progress. You know, you see a sign that said maintenance here, work in progress. So, and because the couple that that I'm inspired with, my husband, my sister and her husband, their life immediately went into ministry mode because he was a pastor of a church and she was already heavily involved. She was a coach at a college. And so their lives just merged together. They got even busier together as they were apart. And so we've been working on getting our schedules together, our calendar together, and what the masterclass is going to actually be like. I'm going to interview them, ask them questions similar to what we're doing here on the podcast. I will be interviewing them, setting a blueprint to the types of questions that will be purposeful and not just a bunch, you know, not just questions, but purposeful in a marriage that will help people. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm asking them for their help and for them giving, because they are new in a marriage. They're early in a marriage, which is where I feel like the best time to work on things and to discover things about yourself is early on and not 25, 30 years later. That will be incorporated into the masterclass, but finding the right question up front, asking the question, because they're living now. They're living every day, you know, but now they've been married 4 months. So it's really fresh on their mind. So the masterclass will be me interviewing them, using their questions as a template to interview other couples. So they will become an active, really a part of the masterclass. And I recently learned that my brother-in-law, which is my sister's husband, already is into marriage counseling. He came from a previous marriage, his wife passed away, but that's a really big part. I didn't know that. That's a big part of his own ministry. So my masterclass will be merged with them. And hopefully from the masterclass it will evolve. They're not really technically, they're not like on Facebook Live and doing that kind of, so we'll use a platform that will work for them. I will, and due to travel, I won't be able to travel there and be there, which what I want to do, not initially anyway. So we're setting up a call. We'll do a Zoom. It'll actually be done on Zoom. It'll be a Zoom cast where I will interview them, and by invitation only, people that they are comfortable with being on there, because we are going to be very transparent. We want, that's part of it, to be transparent, to let, you know, share things that you're comfortable with. And once we have 2 or 3 private sessions of them, then we will invite other couples to come on through recommendations or by, you know, as I'm directed through assignment, because I already have certain couples that have come to my mind and come in my spirit that I feel like they have something to offer. And once we compile several interviews, several classes, so to speak, from initially, then we'll do an open Zoom where people can come by, you know, they'll be invited to come and listen to these stories and hopefully be blessed in their own relationship. Now, we're not going to limit it to just married couples. However, though, the married couples will be the format for the platform, because I believe marriage between, you know, a real marriage to me is, you know, based upon, you know, the Bible, what it said. That's my faith. That's my belief. So the masterclass is going to grow. I don't know what it's going to look like 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. And that's where my faith comes in, to allow things to take place organically, and not, because if I had a specific result in mind and it wasn't going that way, old self, or this is not going the way that I want it to go. And that's not what it's all about. It's about me being obedient to and let the process take its course.
And that is hard.
Yes, it is hard. So hard.
That is so hard.
Yes, it really is. And that's why I'm, even when I'm setting up interviews for them, I'm letting them know that they are important in this process. It's not about me, because I've had, you know, we've had dates on the calendar, and it's happened, that life has happened, because they're in ministry. They've had to go and deliver food to their church members who can't get out. And so they're actually doing things that what is, and what's, you know, so interesting about it, as I talked to my sister, the things that they are doing already are the ingredients that I'm so excited to hear about. They are fishing together. They have a garden. They grow fresh food together. She's canning, doing all the things that she wants to do. And they are having fun together. All the ingredients that I'm like, wow, that's what I want. That's what this masterclass is all about. Sharing with people how life can be exciting as you allow it to be. It doesn't have to be stale. You don't have to lose the joy, but it does require work. It does require intentionality. And so that's where I'm really, really excited to be learning from couples, learning from them. And just through the natural process, it's going to help my marriage. It's going to help my relationship. I'm really excited and open to learn. And where this takes me and the couples that will be involved, I'm just grateful to be in the process, to be a part of it.
Well, I am so excited for you to see how this all transpires. It's definitely mighty work that you're doing. And I'm super, super proud of you for being obedient and just being willing to just follow the lead. And because that's not an easy thing, definitely.
Amen. Yes.
Well, what I'd like to do is offer our listeners that I will keep them updated on my website and where the podcast is found, so that when your masterclass is launched and it is something that you're opening up to the public, that they can reach out to you in the way that works for you.
Okay.
And because I think it's going to be a blessing. You know, I think it's going to be a blessing in many ways for many people. Like, I like that you're also offering it for people who aren't married yet.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of broken families. Like you said yourself, people who, you know, in your own life, who it didn't, their marriage didn't survive. So I can imagine if I came from a family that was our history and that would have been our, you know, living legacy, that if I wanted to do something different, I would want to hear from other people.
Yes.
To see, you know, it's kind of like you're talking about your sister gardening, and it just kind of popped in my head when you were talking about, you know, as a marriage, a lot of people just jump in. Mm-hmm. And it's like being a gardener and just throwing the seeds out there and hoping to see what grows.
Yes.
You know, versus like, well, are we going to do like square foot gardening? Are we going to do container gardening? You know, what's going to work for us?
Yes.
And my husband and I, we, a couple of years ago, you know, we were in a very struggling place. And I finally said to him, we have got to meet an older couple that has children that are grown and that they still like each other.
Okay.
And like, what are they doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, you can just become complacent. Everybody does it in every part of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lucille, for being here. And thank you for the listeners. I realize that the technological difficulties today are not ideal, but you know what? The message is perfect.
Yes.
And what you're doing, Lucille, is perfect.
Thank you so much. And may I say, Kristen, at the very end of the day, I work on words. I love words. And the word that came to me as I was contemplating the masterclass is for marriages, you know, some ingredient is the word, it says, it's peaches. You know, that I love fruit. And I know my sister having a garden, they have all kinds of fruits and what have you. But the acronym peaches is the first letter is pray together for a couple. If they're not, if that's okay with them, I encourage it because that's something I need in my marriage. And the E is for to eat together, break bread together, really important. And the A would be to acknowledge one another every day in some kind of way, you know, in a small way, in some kind of way. And the C would be to cry together, because sometimes when you're in pain and you don't think that other person's aware of your pain, so cry together, feel that person's emotion, And then the H will be to hear what that person is saying. So, so, so important to hear your partner's cry, hear the partner's, their dreams, their goals. And the other E will be to exercise, go for walks, whatever you can do, just because sometimes things outside of the house, it opens up freshness. Because I've been asking my husband for a while. He's a walker, but we don't walk together. We used to long, long time ago. And then the S would be for sex. You know, you got to have some sex in this important thing. So that's what I have, that word, you know, has just come to me in terms of acronym of what I can use to even remind myself. So again, thank you so much, so, so much for allowing me to come and share on your podcast today.
Oh, I'm so glad that you came and shared with us. And I'm going to write that. I love acronyms, and the peaches is going in my journal.
Okay, good. I will be interested to hear how your peaches works out over the course of time.
I know, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Lucille. You have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Absolutely.
And God bless the rest of your week,
all
friend.
Right. Thank you, Kristen. God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope that Lucille's message has given you hope for your marriage or for anyone you know who's entering into the commitment of marriage. Stay tuned for more information on Lucille's masterclass, The Marriage That Works, and its upcoming release date on my website, KristenLeeSchindler.com. If this episode spoke to you, please share it with others and subscribe to this podcast wherever you access podcasts. I look forward to having you join me next time on All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And remember, your story matters. Be willing to be authentic and vulnerable. You just never know who you are encouraging by sharing your story.